All right. You guys can go sit down. First Samuel chapter 18. All right, calm down. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. It says, the word of God says, and it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet the king's song, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul slain thousands, and David 10,000s. And Saul was very wrath, and that saying displeased him. And he said, they had ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed about thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? So let's pray, and then we're going to go to the message. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blood, Lord, that you shed on the cross. And thank you for the song that was, Lord, it's because of you. And thank you, Lord, that what you did on the cross for us, Lord. And it's just a miracle that we're here. And Lord, we just give you thanks and honor, Lord. I ask that this message can be a blessing to the students here today, Lord, as it was a blessing to me. And Lord, I just ask that you can fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and you can, Lord, help me preach and just, Lord, open your Bible and tell them this beautiful story here and the things that I find here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother John Francis, for that introduction you gave. You know, it's funny. If it was Pastor Workers in here, he would have said that, you know, I grew up and really close to the church, and it was 10 of us in a one-bedroom apartment. He always likes to say that story, too. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of where I came from. I give God thanks for where I came from. And the person that I'm now is I guess, you know, what God did in my life and where I'm from. And that's just the joy that every time I get to get up in the morning, and every time that, you know, I pray, every time that I see my family, it's God's grace in my life. And I'm thankful for that. And you guys are barely starting. You know, when I was in the Bible Institute, there was an old preacher that used to tell us, you know, you don't wait to be a missionary, you don't wait to be a pastor, or whatever God has for you. So you're doing it, you start right now. You know, and young man, if you're called to be a missionary, you know, don't wait to start soul winning until you get to the mission field. You know, you start right now. If you want to be a preacher, the same thing. You know, you start living a holy life right now, not when you become a missionary or a preacher. You start reading your Bible now, not when you become a preacher or a missionary or a school teacher, whatever God has for you. You start doing it now. You know, and right here we see a story, and the title of the message is How Fast Things Change. You know, and understanding, you know, just how fast things change in people's lives and the troubles that come to our lives. And sometimes, you know, right now we can be happy. We get home, it can become really difficult. You know, we see the story here for Samuel. We see that the king, Saul, you know, he was excited to get this young man. He was and we know who Saul was. He was a warrior, but they had a trouble. And that trouble was that they had a Philistine in front of them. He was a giant. They couldn't defeat him. So we see that Saul, he started, you know, asking, who can defeat this guy? And we see that David, nobody, you know, will give a penny for this kid. But then again, he came and he defeated the giant. Now, as the story goes, you know, Saul has said, you know, if somebody defeats this giant, I'm going to give my daughter to him, and I'm going to give him riches, and I'm going to make him a captain and whatnot. And he was just happy when it happened. You know, you see the Bible, if you just read backwards, it says that he saw him and he asked the people that were with him, who's that guy that's coming? Like if he did not know him already. You know, who's that guy? Who's that kid? And then even more. You know, David became a warrior, started fighting, and he came back from a battle, and people started shouting, man, Saul, he killed thousands. But this kid, he killed 10,000. Like if it was true, maybe it was, I don't know. But you know, the thing that surprised me is that how things change and so quickly. First, The king was all happy. He was saying, man, this guy, he's my champion. Come over here. You're going to be next to me. And then we start reading. And it says, and Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have scribed unto David 10,000. And to me they have scribed but thousands. And what can he more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on forward. And it came to pass in the marrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So again, as I go in this message, you know, and just an introduction, I had, you know, just understanding and seeing people and seeing their reaction when difficult things come in their lives. You know, one of those heroes of mine is Pastor Wilkerson, and I know his son is right here, and it's weird when somebody, you know, I don't know, it just, but I was a Bible college in the Institute when Tyler Wilkerson died, and I, for the first time, I got to see something difficult change like this. You know, I remember getting up that morning, going to Victory Club, and we heard, and the whole church heard. We used to do this every Saturday. Victory Club was with Spanish and English. We used to sing for like maybe like 25, 30 minutes before we went out soul winning. It was the most exciting moment of my life, of that time. You know, it was what I used to look forward to that week. Man, I'm gonna go to soul winning. I'm gonna go to Victory Club. We're gonna be there. And that morning, waking up, we received a text, and we knew, man. We went there. We were sitting down. And, you know, I think it was what assistant pastor came, and he was saying, you know, Pastor Wilkerson might not come, and this happened. And everybody just expecting, and then seeing Pastor Wilkerson come with his wife and getting up in the pulpit and say, man, God is so good. You know, that really struck me. And as I was reading this, and you know, this was in my mind of, you know, we don't have control what happens in our lives. You know, one day people can be shouting, man, hey, man, good job. And another day they can be throwing stones at us. You know, one day you can be here and you get home and something tragic happened in your family, and you're going to be in a position that you're going to want to throw that towel. You know, that's a boxing saying. When you box and you're getting defeated and your coach sees that and he throws a towel in for you, or if you're in the corner, you say, man, coach, I can't do it no more, and you stop the fight. You know, there's going to be moments in your Christian life you're going to want to stop that fight. We see here David, it wasn't with him. You know, if you can go verse 10, the Bible says right here, and it came to pass in the marrow that evil spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as other times, and that there was a javelin in Saul's hand. First of all, what I see here is that, you know, when things change, and they are going to change, and they're going to come fast, when things change, keep doing what you've always been doing for God. You know, I see this, and I seen it in the Bible. I saw it with Job. I see it with David. I saw it with our Lord Jesus Christ. When difficult things come, they just keep on doing what God has already put in their lives to do. What are you doing now for God? You know, the first thing that young man, and I've seen it. I'm 37 already, and I've seen many young men that when difficult things come in their lives, the first thing they do, they quit everything they were doing for God. You know, they were soul winning. Oh, I can't do soul winning, Brother King, anymore. Because this happened, and I can't continue with Hyos Anderson. I don't know what's going to happen in your life. But you know, we see here, and as an example of David, David just kept on doing what he was always doing. The Bible says here that he was playing music for Saul. And even Saul he was bitter against him and everything. He kept on doing what he was always doing for God. You know, is where many have stopped serving God. And I just said that right now. You know, I don't know what's going to stop you. I don't know what difficulties are going to come. Others get discouraged. Others throw the towels. But David kept on doing what he was always doing for God. If you go to Matthew chapter 26, please go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Verse 36. The Bible says, then came Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell in his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples, and fitted them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again. He prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then came he to the disciples and saith unto them, Sleep now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinner. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand, that doeth betray me. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elder of the people. You know, right here is one of the saddest parts to read of the Bible. You know, our Jesus Christ was praying knowing that he was going to get betrayed. Knowing he was going to get betrayed by one of his disciples. But yet again, he was praying, he was asking God, not my will, but your will. You know, again, I don't know what trial God's going to bring in your life. You know, every man that God has used and every woman that God has used, and if you read the biographies, if you read the Bible, God has put them through a trial. And I'm just here trying to tell you, hey, if you haven't had trials already, you're going to get through those. You're going to go through fire. And we can learn from David, we can learn from our Lord Jesus Christ, how you know what? They kept firm, they kept praying. They say, God, I know I'm going to go through something difficult. I don't want to do it, but God, if it's your will, I'm going to do it. You know, I don't know what was going to happen in your life. You know, when things change, if you go back to where we're at, 1 Samuel, verse 11. The next thing I see that David did, and Saul cast a javelin for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out his presence. You know, when difficult things come, when people attack you, when things are going, when you get criticism, you get attacked, you get bad faces. You know, David avoided the attacks. You know, sometimes we can do that. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but my skin is not white. It's brown. You know, and I give God thanks because my skin is brown. But, you know, not everybody looks at me and says, man, they don't. There's been times in my life, even as a Christian, even as a youth pastor, and wow, and whatever, right? There's been times in my life that I've been looked down upon. And thinking, man, Well, you know what? I go to my Bible, and I read in my Bible that, man, God is faithful. So what I do is I duck. I'm like, man, whatever, man. I'm not going to pay attention to that. You know, growing up and growing up in California, when I was growing up in Long Beach, L.A. was the murder capital of the United States. It wasn't Chicago. It was L.A. It was bad. And I said the story with City Baptist. I was telling them, you know, growing up there, it was scary. I mean, I remember I was about maybe 10 years old. We were playing soccer. We lived in an apartment. It was a complex. It had four apartments. We lived on the top floor. In the bottom, there was grass. And we used to play soccer every day. After school, we used to go and play soccer. And I remember, you know, I don't know if you guys ever been in a drive-by. It's the scariest thing ever, the whole time. It was scary. And remember hearing the gunshots and the car approaching, all you can do was duck. You couldn't go fight against them. I mean, they had guns. You couldn't do nothing about it. But you learned to duck. The first thing you ducked, and then when you were in the ground, you were looking, you're like, okay, I'm okay. Then you looked at your little brother, he's okay. Your other little brother, man, they're okay. Get up, and then your mom used to come out like, get inside. And they used to get mad at us, like if it was our fault. You know, but you learn. You learn to when things you can't control, just duck. with things you can't do nothing about, you just put it in God's hand. You know, that's what David did. He didn't go up against them. He didn't go up against the king. He knew he was the king. He didn't say, man, you try to kill me, I'm a king. No, he didn't do anything. All he did was, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in your purpose. I'm not going to go fight against something that I can't win. You know, I see this here. David avoided him. He dodged it. So again, when things change in your life, keep on doing what God has you doing already. You know, when bad things come in your life, when somebody criticizes you, when somebody puts you down, or with something happens in your life that you want to throw the towel, you know what? Just duck all those negative things in your life. Just understand that God has a purpose for you, and the Bible says put the armor of God. You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm just trying to tell you, man, it's so amazing when you just trust God and let God take care of your enemies. If you can call them enemies. Sometimes they're not even enemies. But you know what? If you see in Luke chapter 6, 29, don't go there. I have it right here. To him who strikes you in the cheek, offer the other. And from him who takes away your clothes, do not withhold your tunic either. You know what God's saying right here? He's saying, hey, take it in. You know, when sometimes things happen in our lives, now that I'm older, I'm like, okay, what more can you do? You can't scare me. What more can you do? I mean, if I die, like Paul said, I'm going to go to heaven. What more can you do? How more defeated you think you can get? And this is David saying, you know what? I'm not even going to put attention to this. I'm just going to duck, and I'm going to keep on doing what I did. The Bible says he did it twice. So that means he did it once. And let's just say Brother Saul, John Francis was Saul, and he's right there. He tries to kill me. He ducked once, and he kept on doing what he was always doing. Whatever, however you play that thing. And he did it again, and the Bible says he just kept on doing it. So again, when troubles come, just duck it. When things change, it's because, verse 12, says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and he was departed from Saul. You know, I find it so, Brother John Francis, you know what I'm talking about? Every time we're doing something great for God, every time the bus routes or every time we're sowing in and everything's going, man, we're reaching so many for Christ, the devil doesn't like it. Every time you make a decision for God, every time you tell God, I'm not gonna listen to this, or I'm gonna drop this, I'm not gonna do this, every time you take a decision for God, the devil doesn't like it. And you know what the devil does? He's going to try to destroy you. He's going to try to get you. He's going to try to whatever he has to do. Because remember, he's been around for thousands of years. So he's going to try to get you whatever he knows your weaknesses. He knows, he knows where you flaw. He knows everything. He's been watching you. He knows what you like. He knows what old music you used to listen to and you like it. So he's going to use everything that is in his armament to destroy your life. And I see here, the enemy's afraid of what God is doing in your life. So sometimes, and understand when difficulties come in your life, no, you know what? This is for a purpose. God, what are you trying to teach me? What can I get from this? Oh, Lord, what do you, I mean, yes, something happened, my dad, my mom, or whatever it is, you're going to go back home, your brother, or whatever it is. Lord, what can I learn from this? And understand that the devil is working too. Just like you're trying to do great things for God. Just like you're trying to do different. You're trying to, you know, you have a joy to serve God. Just like all this. And amen for that. The devil's looking at you like, oh. Really? You want to serve God? Okay. He's going to try to do everything he can to destroy your life. And if you don't believe me, he did it to Jesus. I mean, he did it to God. He took him. And he tempted him. And I was going to go there, but I was going to show you the Bible. You guys know this already. If he did it to our Lord Jesus Christ, who do you think you are? You're no different. You're an easier target. So understand, first of all, understand that, you know, things come in your life. Keep on doing what God has you already doing. You know, dodge those problems. And understand that the devil is afraid of what God can do in your life. You know, I maybe some of you guys are like me. And I say maybe because I'm just, you know, when I surrendered to God, I threw the old me out of the window. I mean, I was 100% for God. I changed completely. And every time that the devil tried to throw things in, and I just, you know what, God, you have a purpose. I don't know what you want me to do. I say this all the time. You know, when God called me to preach or to surrender, when I surrendered to God, full-time ministry, I'm like, God, I want you to use me. I don't care what it is. I didn't know I was going to be a youth pastor. I used to tell God, God, if you want me to be a janitor, if that's what you want me to do, man, I'll do it gladly. All I want to do is serve you. All I want to do is soul win. All I want to do is impact somebody's life and bring them to church and see his life change and see what God can do in their life. But you know what? The devil wasn't happy. He knew that too. So what did he do? He tried to throw things. Things that before, they had me gripped. And he knew that. So again, understand that the devil doesn't like it, but he's afraid. He's spiteful. He's going to try to destroy your testimony. Saul knew he cannot fight against God. He knew that. The Bible says that he knew that the Spirit of God was with David. But yet again, he tried to kill him. The same thing with Satan does. He knew he couldn't with Christ. But he tried to destroy enemies. He tried to destroy him anyways. And we see that in Matthew. We're not going to go there. When things change, verse 12 says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with who? With him. And my question, you know, is for you. Is God by your side? I mean, let's start pretending. Is God by your side? We like to see what side you're leaning on, right? And whatever. But is he really on your side? Because David knew. You know, when I saw Pastor John Wilkerson go through that trial, I know what side he was on. Man, it takes a man of God to be able to get up and say, God is good when something like that happens. What difficulty are you going through that you want to throw the towel already? Well, is God real or not, young man? Some of you guys, some of you guys, you go back home. You're not coming back. You're going to go and you're going to suck your tongue and be like, oh, whatever happens in your life. Instead of being like David and saying, you know what, God, you're with me. Oh, man, I can stay here and tell you how many times. In my old job that I used to work with, I used to work in the refineries. How many times the enemy came and tried to attack me because I was a Christian. And all I did was, God, I'm in your sight. And he'd take care of me. Or different difficulties. Just get on my knees and said, God, I don't know what's happening. But I still want to serve you, and I'm here for you. And God take care of me. You know, I'm trying to tell you this. David did it. God is by your side. David had no need to defend himself. David never saw evil towards Saul. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place into wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, if God is on your side and you're doing it for the good reasons, everything's going to be fine. I know it's easier said than done. You think, man, no, trust me. Whatever difficulties, whatever trials you're going through, if you say, God, I know that I came here because I wanted to serve you, and I don't understand why, but I'm going to keep on going. I'm telling you, it's all worth it. This man over here, they've been through trials, and they're still here. You know, I see Brother Francis, and he's one of my heroes. I see him faithful to God. I mean, he had an accident. He was still trying to go to the senior trip with the seniors. That's faithfulness. But you know, he decided a long time ago, God is on my side. And I'm going to let God fight my battles. And young man, you should let God fight your battles. When difficulties or when things change in your life. Verse 14, it says right here, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. You know, sometimes we need to do when difficulty comes is just behave wise. You know, many times I've been angered and I just said, no, I'm not going to get angry. I'm just going to let God do my things. That's behaving wise. The Lord commands us in understanding, behave wise. David was a very wise man. It's a person who acts careful or prudent. The Lord commanded us to be prudent. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. You know, probably you respect me to scream and everything, but God said, I'm going to send you amongst wolves. God's going to send you amongst people that don't believe in Christ. Even right here. Everybody looks so sharp. But you know what? The sad thing is that maybe in here there's wolves. And the Bible says right here, be wise. Be careful. Be like David. Think before you talk. And let God do your battles. And let God take care of this. Keep on doing what you're doing. When things change as a Christian, and again, things are going to change. Or maybe they're changing now. Keep on doing what you're doing for God. Avoid the attacks of the devil or avoid the attacks. And understand that it's because the enemy is afraid of what God can do in your life. And make sure that God is in your sight. And for the end, be wise in how to fix problems. Don't just, you know, in Spanish we say gallinas sin cabeza, like a chicken without a head. They run around. I don't know if you've ever seen that. No. Put it in God's hands. And say, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. But I know you have control. It's just a simple message from my heart telling you guys, man, I see you guys. And I just see the potential that God can do in 5 to 10 years. Who is God going to use here like Kevin Wayne or a big preacher? No. It's going to be one of you guys. But not all. Because some of you guys are going to go through trials and going to throw the towel and going to quit ministry. Some of you guys are going to drive forklifts or sell things for the rest of your life. And you're here to serve God. And you're here for a reason. What's it going to be? You know, I'm here for the long shot. You know, I saw this. I had a friend, Ron Minsky. He was 85 when he died. He was a World War II veteran. I worked in his house and we became really good friends. He had a book. I was going through his books. He gave me his library. And in one of the books, he had this quote. It says, unconditional surrender. When Christ offers us a new life in himself, he means that it shall be really new and wholly new. But we must make it possible for him to do this by sweeping abandonment and his strength of everything that has wrongfully had a place in our lives. Hitherto, we must make new provision for any return to the old life. No provision for any return to the old, to the old life. You know, it was one of the, I think it was Hernan Cortes, one of the conquistadors. When they land, they burn all their bridges to go back. I might misquote it or something like that, but it's true. They didn't want to go back. They burned their bridges like, we're not going back. We're going to conquer this land. And if we have to die, we're going to die trying. Some of us need to burn your bridges to the old you and trust God. See, when you trust God, whatever difficulty comes in your life, you're not going back. Because there's nothing back there for you. Let's pray.